I'm not preaching. We get to hear from several folks that I've asked to share their faith story. And here's kind of the why from a pastor's perspective. For some who are going to share their faith story, it's the first time that they've shared their personal come to Jesus story publicly. So for them, this is a huge step. It's an important step for them to actually think through, practice, and tell their story. So that's awesome. Others who are going to share their story, they've done this before, and so they're doing it kind of just because I've asked them to. And so that's great. But what I think is of tremendous value today is having everybody hear several people tell their story of faith, because it will help you hopefully rehearse your story, even if it's in your mind, think about your story, but then think about how if you were tapped on the shoulder to come up here and tell your story, how you would go about doing it. Everybody has about 3 minutes to share their story. There will be a buzzer that sounds after 3 minutes. And then those of you that were given, you know, the scale of 0 to 10 cards that should be under your seats, when everybody is done, you're going to hold them up and give everybody a score. And how, no, I'm not going to do that. Everybody's like, I'm out. So no, we're family. And so this hopefully will be fun, encouraging. If you hear somebody tell their story that encourages you or challenges you, let them know afterwards. And so we're going to try to keep this moving as quickly as possible. What we've done is we've told everybody that's going to talk today, you got two scenarios. One, you could be sitting in a living room, or you can be sitting in a coffee shop. And so they're going to actually pick where they sit. I'm going to sit next to them. We're going to assume that I'm their friend that doesn't know Jesus, and I'm going to ask them a softball question that hopefully will just set them up to just tell their story. We don't want this to feel as though people are just giving a presentation to a classroom, but putting those who are going to share their story kind of in a, as much as possible, a conversational environment, knowing that they're still got a bunch of eyes on them. So that makes sense? All right, so batting leadoff today. I'm going to ask Danielle to come up. Danielle Lopez. How are you, Danielle? Yeah, our children's director. Killing it. Where do you want to go today? You want to go to the coffee shop, or you want to go to sit in the living room?
I'm a living room gal.
Okay, well, sit down.
Yeah. Ooh.
Hi, Danielle.
Hi.
Hey, we've been friends for a while now.
Yeah.
I've always just observed something different about you, and I've been hesitant to ask you, but what is it that when I see you and I'm around you, there's just something different about you? What's up with that?
So I think it's, I honestly think that what makes a difference in my life is the Lord's impact on me and the way that he moves me and influences me every single day and every single way.
Okay. Tell me about that.
So there was a time in my life, well, I guess always in my life, I've always been a Christian. Growing up, we've always had Christian backgrounds, Christian roots. My grandma's always the one that everyone asks to pray at weddings. Like, there's a, oh, here we go. I thought that this was my living room. I could put my coffee anywhere.
If we want the handheld, that's cool. That's easier.
Yeah.
And I'll even hold it.
Do we want that? Should we get that?
Should we want that?
Should I do that instead?
We got one back here. All right. Technical difficulties.
Bottom.
There you go.
Hello. Is it? I pressed it. Did it? Oh, hold it.
There we go. Now check it.
Did I do it? Help me.
Trading. There you go. All right.
Okay.
We're a slick production up here. Go ahead.
Okay. So, like I was saying, I've always been a Christian. I've always had that background in my family. But it was never really my Christian relationship. And it was always kind of like, this is our family's thing. We go to church together. And my sisters and I, we all go to kids church together. We go to youth group. We do the prayers. We went to the kids camps. But it was never my story. And it was never, and the relationship that I did have was more like one-sided. And to be honest, I was lukewarm about God. It was, he's there, and I pray, and I believe. And that's good, right? And I was baptized. So I'm like, yeah, this is good. I have a relationship with him, whatever. Unfortunately, as I kind of got into my early 20s and was in college and doing all of the typical college things, I had my own agenda. I was getting my major. I had my minor. I was in 5 different clubs and organizations. I was the president of 2 of them. I was a student athlete, and I was dating a pretty cool guy on the baseball team. So I had a lot to do. I was busy. There was a lot going on. So I thought, like, I'll get to the God thing eventually. You know, like, I'll grow more when I grow up. So when eventually knocked on my door, my pretty cool boyfriend and I decided that we were going to church hop because we were like, yeah, this is pretty important. God kept coming after us and coming after us and coming after us. We tried a couple different ones and we were like, I don't know. We were kind of waiting for that feeling, you know, because I know that the Holy Spirit moves. I just never really felt him move that much. So whenever we came here, Joe and I both felt.
Came to your living room?
Yeah, came to my living room right here on the stage. No, came to church. When we came to church at Zion, we walked in and we were like, okay, this is the feeling that we were talking about. This is the Holy Spirit. This is that heart fluttering, gut moving. This is good. This is good stuff. So actually, after our first time we left, my husband looked at me and said, I think that pastor is going to marry us. And I said, honey, we don't even know this man's last name. How is someone that we don't even know going to marry us? Sure enough, a couple months later in July, that same pastor married us, and it was awesome. So that's when my personal relationship with God really started to flourish. That's when my fire for the Lord was lit. I started into a discipleship group, and we started to read and dive deeper into the Lord. And that's when I kind of realized, how could I ever be lukewarm? Or how could I ever be just okay with a one-sided relationship with someone who lived on this earth a sinless life, died for my sin, and then rose again 3 days later? How could I not be devoted in diving in every single day to a person who would do that for me? So that's when I continued to grow. That's when, again, I was in my discipleship group and I started to understand it more. That's when I was in the very seats that we were in right now and I heard the Lord say to me, like, if I wouldn't have come to church this day, or if I wouldn't have felt the Lord moving me, I wouldn't have become the kids director. I wouldn't have heard the please serve call that the Lord was giving to us. I started serving. I started to use my gifts and talents and time to serve him, to give back to him. And now I am still such a work in progress, and I'm still, my time management is still all over the place. But since I've realized these different things, my time is committed to diving into the Word and serving His absolutely beautiful children. I am in fellowship with other believers, and that's another thing that helps me continue to grow, is just to build these relationships and love that He wants me to feel with other believers of Christ. And I know, because of these different things, that I am accepted and forgiven, am given direction, and I am loved every single moment of every single day by my God who came here for me. And I want to spend my time that way for the rest of my life. So I think that's what's different about me.
Cool. I appreciate it. Thank you.
Absolutely.
All right. Thanks, Danielle.
My pleasure.
Awesome. I'll take it. All right. Joe, why don't you come on down?
Why don't we change
scene? Okay. All right, you're a coffee shop guy.
Sure.
Hey, Joe, how you doing? You got your own brew? All right, cool. You don't carry a microphone often in a coffee shop, but today we'll make an exception.
Sure.
How you doing, man? How about those Pirates?
Hey, exciting stuff.
That's going to be awesome when you guys trade
had to a game
trade
soon.
Skeins for all of those prospects in a few years.
Yeah.
It's going to be awesome. That's a good joke. Pirate fans, you know I'm telling you the truth on that one. Anyway, so man, we've been friends for a long time. I've just been noticing something different about you. There's something that I think is missing that I think you've got it. Tell me about it.
Sure. So I think what I would share is that it's probably my relationship with Christ.
Okay.
And so let me just give you a little background on that relationship. As a young boy, 6 or 7 years old, that's when my relationship with Christ started. And the reason that started is my mother was diagnosed with breast cancer. Hmm. And so at that time in her life and in our family's life, she turned to God. And so what that resulted in is my sister and I and our parents continually going to church. And so in that moment, I started to desire a relationship with the Lord. A couple years later, my mom lost her battle to cancer. And this really grew my desire to have a relationship with God because I knew that she had gone to heaven. And I'd say from ages 9 to about 16 or 17, I had a strong relationship with God. I could feel the Holy Spirit, and it was a powerful feeling. And then as I started to, once I got my driver's license and I could run with my friends and I transitioned into young adulthood and went to college, I became lost. And during this time in my life, I felt an emptiness, and I believe it was related to being on my own in the world and being exposed to the temptation that's in the world. I was more worried about being the cool kid, and this resulted in my time being spent sinning and worshiping idols. I was not proud of my actions, and instead of changing them, I continued to fill this emptiness that I felt with sin. I felt shame in my actions. I caused pain to others, and at that point, had little to no relationship with God. And then I met Danielle, and that changed my life. Danielle helped fill the emptiness and desire that I had to be loved and cared for, and as our relationship grew, so did my desire to have a relationship with the Lord. And over the years, each of us could feel the Holy Spirit calling us, and so we began attending church again. We attended one church for a year or so, and we really weren't getting the feeling that we desired, and we knew that there was more in store for us. And one day we walked through these doors for the first time, and we were captivated by Pastor Trent.
I didn't write that for That's a good line, though.
And we knew that this was where we were meant to be. And this is when my relationship with God began again. During the years that we've been attending Zion, I have learned that Jesus lived, died, and rose again. I have learned that I am a sinner who needed a Savior, and I have put my faith in Jesus because of his sacrifice for my sins. The emptiness that once lived in me is now filled with the Holy Spirit. I am filled with a desire to love and to do good, a desire to grow in my faith and to disciple others to help them grow theirs. And because of that, now in my life I find purpose and I recognize and focus on my relationship with God. I feel loved by my church family and my connections with other Christians are stronger than they've ever been. My priorities have shifted and I'm choosing to spend time on what's most important to me and my family. Danielle and I are working together to prepare to teach our son to love the church and to have a relationship with Christ. Following Jesus is the best thing I've ever done.
Cool. Great. Good job. Thank you. Kayla. Come on up, Kayla. Are we going to the coffee shop or the living room?
Yeah,
just leave. All right. Hold on a second. That's just a prop. Okay. But you didn't have to tell everybody.
Oh, I'll play along.
Thanks. Okay.
All right. Hey.
This is Kayla.
Hey.
Kayla, we've been friends for a long time.
Have we?
We have. Yes, we have. And I don't know that I've ever asked you straight up, but like, what's with you and God? Like, he seems to be super important to you. What is that all about?
Yeah, well, buddy, I was raised Catholic, so I was very involved in my church, and the problem was I was a hypocrite. I was living in sin, had a struggling marriage, struggling with depression. Really, I just wanted to be dead. So being in church, I started saying some Hail Marys, Our Fathers. It wasn't working. And so I reached out to a Christian friend, and I asked him, well, what's the point of praying? If God already knows what's going to happen, why should I even bother? And he told me that it was about the relationship. And that was the beginning of my real relationship with God. That became my model for my Christian walk. While in church on a Sunday, God very clearly wanted me to get up out of Mass and go to my friend's church. And that was Zion. Can I have permission to take a time out from the scene?
Sure can.
Okay,
and scene. And pause. Go ahead.
Zion, I want to say this to you because in all three of our testimonies that you've heard so far, God really started moving when we got to Zion. And that's because of all of you. I can tell you the moment that I walked in these doors, there was someone that made me feel loved, made me feel welcomed, and they had no idea who I was. They didn't know anything about me. But I felt welcomed, and that's because of each and every one of you. So, thank you. And
back to
action. So, I came to Zion. And it was at Zion, I remember sitting over in those chairs, looking up at the ceiling, and I realized God loves me enough that he sent his son to die for all of my crap, and I put my faith in his love. And so that changed me. And now I still battle with depression. I still struggle with sin, but it doesn't have a hold on me anymore. And I found hope and peace, and really, I found that the one whose love really is the most important in my life, the one that matters, is willing to love me, take care of me, and weep with me if that's what I need. And I will always remember John 16, verse 33. In this world, there will be trouble. But take heart, because I've overcome the world. And life still sucks sometimes, but I have hope. I have peace.
That's good.
Hey.
Thank you.
Thanks.
Thanks, pal.
Hey. Thanks, man.
Love you. I do need the mic back. You got to give it back. Thank you. All right. Spencer. Where's Spencer at? Where are we going? He's a living room guy. All right. This is our friend Spencer. Getting to know Spencer. How you doing? How was your work day?
Great. Good.
Good. Good. Good deal. Good deal.
Killed it.
Watching any good movies lately?
Yeah. A few. A lot, actually.
Yeah. Cool. How's the baby?
Doesn't sleep.
Yeah.
But man, my wife is pretty good.
Man, raising a kid in this world these days, it's got to be tough. I don't know. I don't know how any parent, you know, wants to do that, man. What? How is it that you're excited about being a dad? What? I mean, teach me something about your life that I don't know. That's kind of the secret to what's the secret sauce in your life?
I've been waiting for you to ask me that for a very long time.
If anybody has them ask, what's the secret sauce in your life? Know that that's an open door from God.
Yeah. Oh yeah. Yeah. So I'm gonna take you way back. The backwoods of Maine. So kind of growing up, and I'll fast forward through my childhood and whatnot. So growing up through my childhood and then into my teenage years, I just discovered this kind of this innate sense, and it wasn't any one particular person or event or even circumstances, but everything kind of came together to, I'd say, make me feel and think about myself in such a way where I just felt like I was unlovable. I felt like I was unlovable. I felt like I had to perform or become a certain person for anyone to care about me, but my authentic, genuine self, that was insufficient or undesired in any way. So I'd really say that, like, that kind of shaped the way I interacted with people, that shaped the way that I saw people and what they wanted from me. And I grew up in a family that went to church, and we were very involved, but I knew everything that I heard from that church up here. But I never knew it in my own heart and what it meant for me. I saw it in other people, and it was always a logical debate, never an emotional debate in my heart. And I'd say into my teenage years is when I really, truly in my heart learned about this guy named Jesus who lived on this planet, and it became real to me the fact that this guy has loved me since the moment I was born. And it never really connected with me until one specific day, but I just made this realization that everything that I learned or thought about myself or thought about other people has been a lie. And it truly just, it's like a light switch where I realized it's not that I'm not enough, not lovable, or insufficient in any way, but Jesus has loved me since the moment I was born, and if I allow him to, he'll continue to show me things about myself that I never knew, and continue to grow me into the person that he wants me to be. So as I grew in my relationship with Jesus, and he's the Son of God, and I'd love to share more about that, but essentially, like, as I became more involved with him and learning from him, it really just shaped the way I then saw the world and how I interacted with different people. And then even so, with our little baby Ava, just how different people are going to come into our life and come out and whatnot. All of that is through a filter of love and just knowing that Jesus has always loved me, and that was something that I fundamentally had to change about myself. And then that really all just came from, again, once again, the fact that Jesus has always loved me, but I had to accept that love. It had to go from here to here. I had to go from a moment of I knew it to I felt it. And yeah, I'd really just say that that's kind of the filter of how we plan to raise Ava.
Okay, cool. Thank you. Yeah. Appreciate it. All right. Missy, where are we going? Living room or the... I'll stay here? All right. This is my friend Missy. Hey, Missy, I've heard a lot about this new ministry, Life Made New, that you started. Mm-hmm. Like, where does that name come from, and why in the world are you... What is that all about?
The perfect setup. Go you. Yeah, so Jesus really made me new, and that was why I named my ministry that. Whenever I was young, I grew up going to church, but there wasn't great follow through at home, so I didn't really learn what that meant for me. And a lot of the adults in my life weren't showing me and really, really failed me in a lot of ways to give me value and worth. And so I went looking for that in a lot of wrong places and a lot of wrong ways. I was making awful choices and hurting people, hurting myself. I ended up having a son when I was 16 and put him through a lot because I was going through abusive relationships looking for love and acceptance and worth. And so I had kind of a rock bottom moment with one of the abusers telling me my son was worthless. And that really was the switch that needed to hit. I had been coming to Zion because, again, as Kayla said, this place is just like wraps you in the most loving and kind ways. And so I was coming.
Not in a culty way.
No.
This place just puts its hooks in you and won't let you go.
Yeah.
Okay, anyway, go ahead.
So I had been coming to a Bible study, and met some women that became, I call them my spiritual moms. Pastor Trent puts a better term, another appropriate term would be disciple. They were discipling me and just taking me out to lunch, meeting with me, texting me when I needed support and love, and telling me that God gives me my worth. And there was even a song I just started listening to recently, Ann Wilson, that one of her songs that says, "Let the God who created you tell you what you're worth," because I was listening to others and they weren't telling me the right things. So that really, and then there was the Bible study I was coming to was Esther, I think by Beth Moore, that introduced me to the verse Hebrews 13:5, where God says, "I will never leave you nor forsake you." And I literally slept with that Bible verse open on my face for quite a long time as I was just letting it soak in, needed it to soak in, that's where my value came from. And so we stuck with Zion. I kind of church hopped around before that, looking for a place for my son that he could be planted and grow. And I needed it just as much as he did, more so even, for his sake, really. And God just used my son to bring me here. So before, I had really not cared about people at all. I had no interest in knowing people because they were really just hurting me. And I was very self-centered, but learning that my worth comes from Jesus and that he would die for me, I learned that I could get everything I needed from him. And I didn't need acceptance from others. I didn't need approval from others. I didn't need them to think I was smart or recognize my worth. I had all of that from him. And so that changed my relationship with others. Instead of going to them because I needed something from them, I could just love them freely. And that really changed my view of people, that I don't need those things from them. I get them from God. And so I can more freely love them without an agenda. And that is what led to the ministry, and my life was made new by Jesus, and I want to be able to tell others about that.
Cool. Thank you. Good job. Love you. Dorothy, come on down. We meeting in the coffee shop or in the living room?
Stay.
Just stay here? Okay. So of everybody who's sharing their story today, Dorothy is the newest face here at Zion. So she's been coming 6 months-ish? More? Less?
No, less.
Less than 6 months?
Yeah.
It seems like forever because we've gotten to know each other. Dorothy came and plugged into a discipleship group pretty quickly. You've seen her and her son serving out in the First Impressions team. And so when I asked her to share, she had already been hearing from the Lord about doing this. And so we don't need to tell that. I mean, we're here to hear your faith story. So basically, God arranged everything so that when I said, "Hey, are you willing to share?" she knew, "Yeah, I need to say yes to this." How about that? Is that fair?
That's fair.
All right. So Dorothy, like you just seem to have this joy about you. You're always smiling, and as we've gotten to know each other, I've just noticed there's something different about you. How are you able to maintain joy in the midst of challenging life circumstances?
So for me, that would be my relationship with Jesus. So growing up, my mom was a believer. My stepdad was not. So I kind of got a mixed message at home. So I always knew Jesus was real, but I didn't get it. Like, I didn't get it for me. Mm-hmm. He died on the cross, but I didn't get it for me. So I focused on being good. I focused on what can I accomplish? How can I be good? I'm not a sinner, kind of. And so for a long time, I looked for love in the wrong places. I looked for acceptance. I looked at the world and tried to find Jesus in the world, really. But I didn't know I was doing that. It led me into circumstances that I probably should have never been. I'm very lucky. I could have gotten hurt way worse than I have been. you know, looking for love leads you to do things that you probably shouldn't do. And so one day I went to church, and it was a church back home where my parents live. And they were talking, and they started really emphasizing about sin being not just actions, but also thoughts. And it hit me like 100 pounds of bricks that really, I was a sinner.
Yeah.
It didn't matter that, I mean, I was doing things that I shouldn't have been doing either, but I had lots of thoughts and things, and I realized, hey, I'm not so good. I'm not as good as I think I am. And I really realized that Jesus loved me, and he still continued to chase after me, because even after that, I still ran and church hopped and didn't follow through. But eventually I did, and I realized that I needed Jesus and that he really did love me. So I put his trust, my trust in him and in that love. And now I've gone through probably the hardest thing I could ever go through, and became a single mom overnight. I have three great children. And really the reason why I got through was because of God. I can trust, and I can have peace, and I can have joy that even in this really tough time for my family, good stuff is going to come out of it.
Cool, cool. Thank you, Dorothy, very much. Appreciate it. Love you. Angelo, come on down. You guys see Angelo a lot. We're going to hear his How I Met Jesus story. I'm going to go to the coffee shop. Getting stuck there in that seat. Angelo, how are you?
I'm good.
Good. You sing pretty good.
Nah.
Let's see if you tell your story good.
No.
This is no pressure. No
this
pressure.
This is tougher, man. Really.
Yeah. Yeah. So Angelo, man, we've been friends for a long time, and I see how you raise your kids. You love your wife. What is different about you?
Wow, what's different? My relationship with God.
Tell me more about that.
Well, if I can start from my beginning. In my household, Christ was the number one guy, the number one thing. And my mother was the rock of that. And she prayed with us, she sang with us, she read scriptures with us. I was baptized at a young age, I accepted Jesus in my life. All of that, it was great inside the home. I'm from the east side of Pittsburgh, a neighborhood called Homewood, and it doesn't get very good props on the news channel. So it was different. So inside the home, cool, God, great. Outside the home, I had a lot to deal with. There was a lot of temptation outside my home, drugs, alcohol, just influence and things like that. But my mother kept us safe. And then when I was 6 years old, my father left. And, you know, he left my mother to, you know, raise us on our own. You know. And that was tough for her. She's a strong woman. She leaned on God a lot. And she was the mom and dad for a while. Still is. But that was very hard on me. I didn't know it at the time, but it was very hard on me. And I really sought out a lot of acceptance and validation out in the street because of that.
Yeah.
Just wondering where, you know, that father figure that I didn't have growing up. And I kind of blamed that as I was going on in my life. Fast forward to college, this is when things just kind of just was, you know, I was exceeding, I was being successful. But it was all on my own purpose, all on my own driven, you know, nothing, you know, I kind of fell away from faith, my faith in God. And was partying and drinking and all types of stuff, man. I don't have to get into that, but you can say what's going on. But it was a tough time in my life. It was probably the lowest point that I've ever seen in my life, because God was nowhere around. And, you know, there was a moment at a party that I heard, I felt a feeling, and God was saying to me that this season in your life is over. It is time to come back. Mm. And I felt that. And what really kind of drew that in, that nail into the coffin, is that I was talking with someone, and I interpret that as, all right, I'm gonna stop this wildlife, stop sinning, this drinking and all this stuff. And I was talking to someone, and they said, why would you want to do that? I was like, wow. I'm like, Satan's all around me. He's trying to get me. He's really trying to get me. And he had me for a while. And that was that moment. Mm. And I reignited myself with God. My daughter, Angelia, was born. Amy and I were, we made that decision to start trying to find a church. And we found Zion. We found, not that it's a cult, but it's a great church.
We've been called.
The purpose that God has me, and what He wants me to do in my life right now for Him, and not for just my success, and that led me to being in 2D groups, life group, elder. That was a surprise. But it was a hard time in my life. And now, we're all in. All in with the Lord. And
that's good. That's it. Cool. Dig it. Thank you. I love it. Thanks. Hey, well, I'm gonna call an audible here, and we're gonna do one more story, and then the other two we'll do something different with the other one. So Chad, why don't you come up? Chad, why don't you come on? Where am I going? Am I going to the coffee shop or the living room? I just want to make sure Chad tells. Coffee shop? All right. What's that?
I have a script for you.
You have a script? I have to ask you these questions?
No. It's just an opening.
Okay. Icebreaker. What's my softball question?
All right. Well, your name's Billy.
I'm Billy.
You're in your 30s.
I'm in my 30s.
You're starting a family.
Starting a family.
You like video games, movies.
Okay.
And this is pretty much how a normal conversation starts with me. So
All right.
You hear this part, and then I'll do that part.
Gotcha. Hey, good morning, Chad.
Good morning, Billy. How are you doing?
You normally look good, but today you look very handsome.
Thanks, Billy. You look good, too.
I can't even... I have a question.
Go ahead.
I'm interested in joining a church and growing my relationship with God, but I'm afraid of what that means. I'm starting a family, and I still love my hobbies. How do you make time for God and life and faith and all that stuff?
Well,
there's video games to play, you know?
I know.
Yeah.
I mean, like the latest Zelda, Tears of the
Absolutely.
Kingdom.
It's the best. Whew.
But... I mean, my story started when I was a kid. Like, I was all about the gaming. I played a Nintendo, Super Nintendo, all the Zelda games. It was a good time. And I don't think I was never really a bad kid by the world standards. But as I grew up, that continued to be a passion of mine. I went to college. And I guess even, while I was growing up, every Sunday, I'd get ready for church. My brother would take me, and my parents would have to work, and then we'd walk to my grandma's house and, spend time with them. And I always prioritized video games even over playing with, my brother and sister. And that continued even through college, but, like, I still, had, kind of Jesus in my thought process. Like, I remember being saved in my late teens. I don't... I don't have a great memory, but I just remember laying in bed praying to God and just accepting Jesus. And I knew I needed Jesus. But soon after that, like, I still continued my desires, like being entertained. Like, then it became not about video games. Like, I had to like stay up to date with the latest movies, you know, what's happening in the MCU, TV shows. And this was even before Netflix, so it's even can be even more difficult now. And I'd say my life took a turn. Like, I lived by myself in my 20s, so a good decade from being saved to my entire 20s, I was still kind of living my own life, you know, playing the games, watching the movies, keeping up with shows, hanging out with friends. And again, you know, nothing bad by the world standards, but, you know, Jesus was getting further and further from my heart. It was like that story of, you know, like you have, you know, Jesus, please forgive my disbelief. I do believe, but, you know,
I'm trying to help my unbelief.
Help my unbelief.
I'm not a believer. I'm not supposed to help you.
Sorry.
I don't know what you're talking about.
But I felt like I believed, but like my unbelief was scaling more. But then, you know, I met my wife, Kim, and she kind of helped me, you know, set my priorities straight. And then, you know, I moved to Clarion, we got married, yada, 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 started a family. And I still felt the desire of having like my own time. Like, I still wanted to play, you know, the Zelda games, and I still wanted to, you know, want a time for myself. And then, of course, I'm in my 30s, and, you know, just everything building up. I was battling anxiety, you know, silently, and like, I'd be up at night being fearful of death and having these crazy questions, like, why is there something instead of nothing? And like, just some really anxious building thoughts that kept me up at night. And then soon after that, we started going to Zion. And do you know Pastor Trent?
I've met him.
Yeah, he's all right. And, you know, Trent would talk about, you know, obviously Jesus a lot, but like having joy in your heart and having peace. And I'm like, well, you know, I'm joyful whenever I'm gaming or whatever, but like I didn't really understand it until like one summer. You know, Trent, you know, challenged us, hey, you know, one summer, let's read through the book of John. And I'm like, all right, well, I could do that. I've never opened the Bible before. You know, I believed in Jesus. I just never took the time to walk through the Bible. And as I was reading through John, like, just things started to click. And then, you know, after that summer, I joined a D group, and we continued, you know, reading various books, getting through the Gospels. And then Jesus really is who he says he is. You know, it just, everything started making sense. I didn't fear death as much. You know, Jesus lived a perfect life, died for our sins, and was resurrected. And I mean, I'm getting chills now just saying that. And like, I put my faith in him, and he really just helped me prioritize my life. Like the belief, the disbelief scale, you know, was more on the belief side. I'm more present with my family. I'm not thinking, well, you know, what's happening in this movie or whatever. Like, I just feel like, I don't know, I'm more prioritized. And I can handle the day-to-day stresses better. Now, granted, you know, I still have anxiety, you know, but I don't know. I just have put my faith in Jesus, and
that's it.
The end.
And scene. No, thank you. Awesome. Awesome. Thank you. Thank you. That's okay. All right. So here's the deal. I'm going to ask the worship team to come up. And worship team, can you bless me? And I don't ask you guys to do this often, but can we just do one song? Whichever one you guys want to do, you guys can huddle back there and do one song just to kind of put a bow on the morning. And I know you guys come in early and rehearse and practice and all that. But I just think for the sake of time today, because I rambled at the beginning, that'd be helpful. So y'all, they're huddling. They're just paper, rock, scissors, which one they're going to do. So here's the deal. I hope as you're listening to people tell their story, it gives you an opportunity to think about your story and how, when God opens the door for you over coffee, you're sitting in the living room with somebody, or you're at work, or wherever you are, that you can think through how you would go about telling your story, if indeed you have a story. Which then leads me to this. If you hear people talking today and you're like, I don't know that I could tell a story like that because I've never placed my faith in Jesus. I don't know that I know him, that I have a relationship with him. Not a relationship with the church, not a relationship with religion, not a relationship with just faith as just this entity, but a relationship with a person who loved you, lived for you, died for you, and then most importantly, resurrected. The fact that Jesus lives is the hinge on which we put all of our hope. Because if Jesus didn't rise from the dead, then everything that we've said really doesn't matter. But if indeed that he did rise from the dead, then we can put all of our hope, all of our faith, all of our trust in him, because he's the one who died for our sins. And I know folks are at different places and different stages in their journey, but if you're at a stage in your journey where you're like, I just need to just jump. I just need to take this leap and put my faith, my hope in Christ alone for my salvation. You've heard stories today of people who at some point in time in their life, they had to push all their chips to the middle of the table and say, I'm going to follow Jesus. I'm all in when it comes to Jesus. And if that's the decision that you need to make, I would love the privilege to be able to talk to you about making that decision. And we want to help you with that, okay? All you got to do is just talk to me. Like, I want to help you make that decision. And if some of you are ready to make a decision to go public through baptism, we'll do that. And then next week, and here's kind of my challenge to you next week. Next week, we're going to have our time together outside. What I'd like to do is I'd like to extend what we did today to a much more just impromptu. Everybody that spoke today, I talked to them, and then they planned for it. Next week, we're going to kind of turn the mic out and go, okay, hey, before we eat, is anybody willing to share their testimony? And it could be the 30-second version. Hey, there was a time in my life when that I met Jesus, and now my life is. It can be very short, or you can say, I want to tell my story. I've never told my story publicly about coming to faith in Jesus. This isn't a life testimony. This is my personal faith in Jesus story. And so I'm going to put that out there this week to you, and we'll see how God might use some of y'all next Sunday as we do that. So let's all stand together today. Do you guys have one picked out? Can I sing? This is the one you need?
You can sing in a mic if you want to.
Can I just stay up here and just sing with you?
Yeah.
You guys have a song picked out?
Yeah.
Which one? The last one? Which is it?
I believe.
That's a good song. I like it. We're going to sing a song called I Believe as we wrap things up today. God bless you again. Thank you for being a part of our gathering today. Let's sing one more song as we head out.